Blog Talk Radio.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. So darling, stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear. Just as long as you stand by me. And darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand now. Stand by me.
Hey, welcome everybody. This is Brother Drew X. We on that Black Nation Radio tonight. Our host will be Mama Pearl, and we will be letting her bring our guest on in a minute. Let me just open up in a quick 1 minute prayer to the creator of male and female, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We ask for your guidance, your wisdom, and your protection. And to our creator, we say always, punish all our enemies. All right, Black Power, Black Power. Let me get ready to bring Mama Pearl in here. Let's see. Let me open. Mama Pearl, you all with me?
Greetings, Brother Drew. What a fitting song. Stand by me. Yes, yes.
Oh yeah, it was either that or Jungle Boogie, but we can do Jungle Boogie later on in the program. So I guess I'm gonna yield to you right now and let you bring on our special guest. What's the area code on that, Mama Pearl?
215.
Okay. All right. I'll let you go ahead, Mama Pearl. I yield to you.
Okay. Thank you so much. First of all, I want to give all praises to the Most High Highest for bringing us, all of our distinguished guests this week. Joining us tonight is Baba, which means Father, Khalid, which is an honor, another freedom fighter. He is the national chair spokesperson of the New African Front, a true freedom fighter, and it's certainly an honor to have him with us this evening. Are you on, Baba?
Yes, I am, Mama. Greetings. Greetings and peace.
Greetings and peace. I want to thank you so much for your graciousness and your patience with me, and wow, I'm just so excited to be speaking with you. Your voice is truly, truly calming to my soul. So, I was, telling everyone about you, and I'm really excited. One of the things that's near and dear to our hearts here on the Black Nation Task Force is our POWs, our prisoners of war, of which you are very involved with, So just give us a little bit of information about yourself, Baba.
Okay. My name is Khalid Abdul-Rashid Omawali. Khalid Abdul-Rashid Omawali means everlasting servant of the righteous, and Omawali means the son who has returned home. I was in Philadelphia, and I became active in the 60s. I became active in the 60s because of those forerunners who were active a little bit ahead of me, those that may have been from 10 to 3 years older than I, and their action inspired me.
Hello?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. I didn't get that last part. Okay. You said who inspired you now?
I said not quite a generation ahead of me. The elders in front of me inspired me. The people who probably the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and the Revolutionary Action Movement and the Peace and Freedom Party and the Deacons for Defense. Those are the people who inspired me, not to mention those who were in front of them, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, the Nation of Islam, Brother Malcolm, Robert Williams.
Robert Williams, yes. It seems like so much had happened in the 60s. What do you think the difference between the 60s and now? It seems like things are kind of lying dormant, you know, nowadays. But in the 60s, everything just kind of, you know, evolved.
In the 60s, we were still face-to-face with racist segregation. And after the passage of the Civil Rights Bill, we kind of got lost. The movement was assailed by the Federal Bureau of Investigations counterintelligence program, but it was not just the FBI alone. It was the entire United States intelligence apparatus that came down on our movement. There is a lot of money to be made off of keeping us in the condition that we are in.
I hear that. I feel you on that. Can you kind of like explain a little bit? Because I have a lot of young listeners who think that everything is just okie dokie.
Okay, let's go back to history. First, America came into the United States of America, or the economics for the United States of America involving our people would probably begin with the import of the slaves in 1619. I believe they landed in Virginia. I'm not sure. Although there were other African people brought here in bondage before 1619, but for the economics of the grouping of people that became the United States, let's use 1619. Okay. Then of our people here in the United States is the cornerstone, or one of the two cornerstones that make the foundation for capitalism. Capitalism is acquired off of the enslavement of African people and the genocide and land robbery of the indigenous people, misnomered as Indians.
Wow. Capitalism keep coming back up. That word just never seems to go away, which is a word I'm sure a lot of our young people, you know, in school don't learn anything about, because that word is certainly attached to us as a people. So I'm sure they don't speak too much about capitalism, not unless they're speaking about cattle and horses and something like that, in which they included us to be a part of that grouping. Am I correct?
Yeah, correct. Simply put, you can say for especially our young ears, capitalism is defined as the exploitation of one human being by another. And in our case, it's been racist, and it's still racist, although we have a lot of smiling black faces in high places today. And they only help perpetuate the madness that we're currently under.
So now, Baba, I hope you don't mind me calling you Baba, because I feel very comfortable. It just comes out of my mouth, Baba. I feel it in my soul. What is the difference between the New African Liberation Front and Republic of New Africa, or is it just a separate arm?
The New African Liberation Front is only an organization that is part of the Black Nation named the Republic of New Africa. It's several formations that came together, and we all say that we recognize the five states and we recognize our right to liberation.
Okay. Now, you said that the United States, they came down on you all with everything that they had. Why would they come down on you all so hard as opposed to...
They came down on us all. They came down on the in general, as I was expressing, but they came down on the Republic of New Africa, and they came down on the members of the Black Panther Party, right? Many of them recognized their citizenry as the Republic, as citizens of the Republic of New Africa. If you take Black people out of the equation, if you take New Africans out of the American equation, America will be on the verge of collapse, if not would collapse. If you look around in many of the urban areas, right, everything depends on the exploitation of Black people, from selling garbage to prison.
You're absolutely correct about that. You're absolutely correct about that. Now, how did you get involved with the POWs? Were you ever a POW?
I was a prisoner myself before the terminology prisoner of war became popular. And once I became placed into what I call minimum security, that's what we are, we're in minimal security. John Henry Clark, Dr. John Henry Clark, one of our respected elders and historians, he's with the ancestors now. He said the entire Black population, the entire African population in America are prisoners of war, because a war was waged against us to bring us here.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that one, you know. And you hear that, my little brothers and sisters? We are all prisoner of war. We did not come here on our own. You know, wow. I am, now tell me, Baba, okay, I am looking, I have three of your books, you know, in my hands, and they are just phenomenal, you know, and I wish everyone can see them. And first, tell us, how can we get your books before I describe them? I'm just blown. These are coloring books for children. How can we get them, and what made you decide to do something for our children?
Okay. Besides working with prisoners, I was teaching in an independent school, but economics caused us to collapse. I was a teacher at the New African Academy Life Center in Philadelphia. And from there, we also had an after-school program, Families and Communities United. And some of the students, you know, if you go into the community and begin to talk to our people and ask them, how many of you have somebody incarcerated? You'll be surprised that And one of the teachers with me in the after-school program, my father was a political prisoner. His name is Russell Schultz. He's been incarcerated and held in isolated segregation for 40 years.
Wow. Isolated for 40 years?
And he's not the only one. They have we have several political prisoners of war who have been held in isolation and segregation for quite a while. We have another brother in Pennsylvania named Joseph Bowen. He had been in isolation for close to 40 years without a visit.
What?
But he has, his spirit has not, the spirit of our freedom fighters has not been broken. But our young people are not aware of our freedom fighters.
No, they're not. And I am speechless on that. In isolation for over 40 years, that's completely inhumane. I mean, without any visitors, I mean.
And finally, a prison activist finally broke down and went to visit him. And unfortunately, it was not a new African that went, but it was someone who was concerned, and he went to visit him, and that was his first visit within a 40-year period of time, being held in isolation. Now, being a soldier, he had attempted to escape several times, and in behind the walls combat, he was charged with executing warden, deputy warden, and wounding a captain. So he was held, right? And the other brother I was speaking on, he escaped from their captivity twice. So they are afraid of the things that they're capable of teaching. But our young people have no clue whatsoever that a war is really being waged against them, and they are filling the prisons.
Yes. That's the new slave ship.
And for a minute there, they were killing each other. You know, they were doing the job of the oppressor, but some of the elders and activists, and I have to give credit to some of the young people too, have been able to talk to some of them, and the homicides have slowed down, but we're still killing each other. We're still committing genocide on each other.
Hmm. Wow. So what can we do? How can we help? How can we, you know, inspire our brothers? I know we need to go and visit them. How do we know who is who and where? I mean.
The first thing we need to do is educate ourselves. You know, we definitely need to have study groups. We need to study and understand what it is that we're confronting, because this is the monster on the planet. The United States, and they guise themselves with a smiling face and they clean shave and they suit and ties as democratic people, and they're monsters. They have assassinated our leaders. Some of the people that inspired me, I hope I'm not, don't sound like I'm rambling. I was a very strong admirer of Dr. Martin Luther King. They murdered him. I was definitely influenced by Malcolm X. They murdered him. I was inspired by the Black Panther Party. They murdered numerous Panthers, including Bunchy Carter, John Huggins, Fred Hampton, George Jackson, Jonathan Jackson, and the list just goes on and on and on. The majority of our political prisoners were in the Panther Party, and as I said, and several are citizens, all are citizens of the Republic of New Africa, but several recognize their citizenry.
Wow. To all the citizens of the Republic of New Africa. Wow.
All black people in America, according to our Constitution, which is called the Code of Umoja, are the descendants of African slaves or prisoners in the United States, are citizens of the Republic of New Africa, unless they choose not to be.
Okay.
They have committed heinous crimes against New African people, and they have been exercise, but we have not done that yet.
Wow. Oh, man. Again, I am speechless. I knew, because when we talked earlier, I knew the number was, you know, 40, 50, 60, you know, years, but I had no idea they spent all that time in isolation. So,
some of them may have access to public, and a lot of them are constantly moved around the country, too. Some of them have committed state crimes and are held in federal penitentiaries. One brother's time is up, but they won't release him.
Okay. So you're saying the best thing we can do is to have study groups so we can see what we're dealing with so that we can... Brother Drew.
First thing you must do is understand what you're dealing with.
Wow. Help me, Brother Drew. I am...
All right. How you doing, Papa?
I'm fine. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing fine. I'm just listening to some of the things that's going on with our brothers and sisters. It's kind of... It's real shocking just to hear. I knew a lot of brothers been locked up over 20 years, maybe 25. But to hear brothers been locked up over 40 years in isolation, 40 years and no visitors, man, that is deep. That's a lot to process. Just hearing that. I see they've been practicing that Patriot Act for 40 years now, maybe. So it's not new what they're doing now or what they're saying because they've already been doing it. And they've been doing it on our brothers and sisters. So just the thought of that alone was kind of shocking. But, we got a big fight ahead of us. And sometimes, you know, as people, I think we might didn't do enough to deter people from treating us this type of way. You know, sometimes, you know, we all value life and want to live forever. But sometimes in order to get freedom, you have to just say, hey, in order for I can make sure you don't treat my child this way, treat my grandchildren this way. Sometimes we have to have a generation that they have to stand up and do things that's a little different. And that's why I salute people like yourself, Brother Allen, Herman Ferguson, the BLA, and the Panther Party, because you brothers and sisters in that time stood up and you did things for your race and your people that had to be done. And we salute you brothers for that. And hopefully that spirit can go to the brothers of my generation and the brothers coming behind me, because we need to stick together as a race of people, but at the same time, we must demand that people going to respect us, or there ain't going to be no peace. And I'm going to yield right there. Mama Prim, when you're ready, we got some phone calls.
Okay, and I want to make sure that we include our brother Dr. Muhammad, you know, in that salute. You know, and he will be coming on to the Black Nation Task Force very shortly. Baba, this is my brother Drew X. He is the Southern Region New Black Panther chairman.
All right, greetings, my brother, to the people.
All right, I was with you.
And I needed him. I needed his strength, you know, to do, you know, these shows because, you know, I've been telling you, I've been feeling this for so long, and I wanted to jump in, and I had no idea how deep, you know, this rabbit hole goes. And, man, I'm just trying to woosock, and I'm very, very, very angry right now that they would do that. And to this day, you know, they're still doing that, and they're keeping our brothers, you know, locked up like that, and our sisters, too. I'm sure we have some sisters who are locked up, too, right?
Oh, so we have sisters locked up, and we have people in exile. We have brothers that are dying in prison from the long sentences given to them, which is nothing but a death sentence, and we have people in exile, and they're dying overseas.
Wow, all because they want to stand up on their two feet to be treated as human beings by some dogs who want us to switch places with them.
We want our human rights. We have a right to go our own way. We are not citizens of the United States legally because nobody ever asked us if we wanted to be. They brought us over here with warfare, and then they fought a war to see who was going to be dominant in their economics, not really to free us. They fought a war to see who was going to be dominant in their economics, and after the war was over, they just proclaimed us citizens. They never asked us if we wanted to be. Under international law, that's not right. We have a right to choose whether we want to be here, whether we want to repatriate, go back to Mother Africa or somewhere else, or whether we want independent land here. That's what the Republic of New Africa wants. We want independent land here.
Right. Ooh, okay, Brother Drew, let's take some questions while I gain my composure. Thank you so much, Bob. I love you so much.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Caller coming out of the 516 area code, 610, you're there?
516 is in the house. Preach some lessons to everybody. This is Sister X.
Hey, Sister
greetings,
X.
Sister.
Greetings, my sister. Greetings, my brother. Greetings, my other brother on the other line. You know, it irks me in a way that I can't even come to find a word to put into it. But let me just make up a little situation. If he is in the cell for 40 years, that's not bad. What about the people that on the outside, that inside of the mentality of their mind, that focusing on one agenda and still in prison of the mind? At least he is in jail and he sees freedom. There's a lot of people out here don't see freedom because they are so bourgeoisie, got caught up in the corruption and inside this European world that they can't even see out the box. And for people like him who've been in jail for 40 years, you know what I'm saying? We have to try to do something. Yes, he is right. We have to have work groups, study groups, and stuff like that. We have to do something to get these people free because these are the people who did something for us to make us be free. And there's a lot of people out in today's society are very ungrateful and don't remember what was done. What was done. And if you ask them what was done, there was nothing done to us. No, we do to ourselves. No, the European continue the same situation over and over. And I'm not going to sit there and try to re-educate these damn bourgeoisie people running around here like a bunch of damn clowns and don't want to learn nothing about themselves. We, as the people who's out here, who's conscious, have to find a way how we can come together to get this brother out of prison for 40 years. Because like I said, if it wasn't for him, you and I wouldn't be here to have the right to do any daggone thing, even though we were born with our own God-given rights, and these jackass crackers try to take every damn thing away from us. We have to find some kind of way. We have to. And I'm sick and tired of it, my brother. If you hear me talking, I'm just tired of it. I'm just tired. You know, I'm just tired. It comes to my time in my life. I'm 36 years old. I'm sick and tired of this bullshit. We try to find some kind of common ground, what we can relate to, and educate these young babies that's going to school, this miseducation school system, and not teaching our babies nothing. What can we do?
Yes, my sister, yes.
One thing I would say to you, my sister, as I said, we need to understand where we are and what we're dealing with. In the 60s, we had a saying that said, we are in the belly of the beast. You know, if anybody's going to bring this sucker to his knees, it's us, the new African here, the black man in America, the African in America. You know, I use all of those phrases because we talk in all of those phrases. So I would suggest that everybody that has access to the internet, go online and look up what the counterintelligence program was. And the counterintelligence program under J. Edgar Hoover was said COINTELPRO to disrupt, discredit, misdirect, or neutralize the leadership of the black movement in that time period, to keep them from educating and educating is my word, electrifying the youth. And then they named several people who would be inspirational in there. They wanted to prevent the rise of what they called a black messiah. I don't think our leadership ever has to look to any one leader anymore. We need to look to collective leadership, because as we see in the past, when they take out our leaders, then we're scrambling for leadership again for another 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years.
Yes, yes, trying to take out the black messiah. And I know that they started the COINTELPRO specifically at first to stop the Honorable Right Excellent Marcus Garvey.
Yes. But let's go back before Garvey. Let's go back to the end of the Civil War. And they turned the whole Confederate apparatus that was supposed to be the former enemy of the North now, they turned the whole Confederate apparatus of intelligence loose on the black nation. And for another 100 years, war was waged on us by the Confederates, right? With a turned head of our so-called ally in the North, the Union, and they kept us out of political power. Not to mention our striving for independence, Pan-Africanism, etc.
Wow. Brother Drew, I love you. I thank you so much for being with me these last 3 days. You know, I feel your strength. Thank you, my sister. Do we have any other callers, my brother?
Anybody else want to speak to Barbara Khalid? Just press 1 on your phone. Anybody listening need the call-in number? The call-in number is 909-265-9220. 909-265-9220. Any more questions, Sister X?
Well, you know, brother, I'm out here as a warrior. I'm a fire to myself. And I have a lot of political history behind my background. But I'm also here in Nassau County, New York, where I live at. I will be running for mayor.
Wow.
And I will be doing something, because I spoke about this a month and a half ago when we were in the meeting talking. I said there's a lot of political people who fought for us to be sitting around this table disagreeing and fighting amongst each other. They are in the cell doing time while we are here still trying to create more on the scene. So I did speak about something similar to this. One of the cracker guy got up and said to me, oh, you can't bring that to the table because, you know why? Because this has nothing to do with us. Excuse me? How dare you talk about my people, cracker boy? Don't you dare talk about my people, cracker boy, because I don't want to hear what you got to say to me. Your time is done. Your time is over. You need to go
That's
back
right.
to the caves of Europe. And we're going to put your ass in the caves of Europe. I'm not going to be shady ass Jackson and keep your ass out of the rainbow. I don't give a fuck. And by any means necessary, we're going to take all your ass. Yes,
okay, let's take another caller. Just hold on. We got another caller coming in. 518-253, you're there?
Yes, sir, really. Yes, sir, I am.
Hey, Mr.
Dawood,
that's lovely.
Well, thanks a lot, brother. Peace and love to you, Mama Pearl. How you doing today?
Oh, thanks. I'm better. I'm better now that you and Drew and Sister X are here. Thank you. Bob will try to live. Oh, my God.
All right. This show is definitely a blessing.
Yes. Bob Khalid is another one of my brothers. This is Minister Dawood. He's another one of my brothers. You know.
Assalamu alaikum, Minister Dawood. Free the land.
Well, alaikum salam, brother. Well, alaikum salam, sir, I should say. I'm sorry. I love and respect you as an elder, and I'm very glad that you're on the show today, because I don't know. I think that you talking about your experiences and the people that you're into contact with, I just recently took a little bit of a break off of Blog Talk Radio. I have my own show in which I talk about a lot of the same stuff that Brother Drew talks about. And, you know, we're all friends, me, Brother Drew, Mama Pearl, and three or four others. We have this little circle that we have, and we try to spread the message of freedom, justice, and equality to as many people as we can. And, you know, because of a lot of the different responsibilities that I had, I took a little bit of a break. But I want you to know that you being on the show today, I've really been contemplating it anyway, but I think I'm going to end my break because I realize that I don't want to be a member. I don't want to be in the number of those young people who don't get it. I don't want to be one of those who are not trying to carry on the fight that you and those who came before us did. You know, I represent what's called the Nation of Islam of Canada. Our headquarters is in Canada. I don't live in Canada myself. I live in Schenectady, New York. But so we're like an independent branch, but we still follow the message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Okay. Is in us. The message of black liberation is in us. Our uniform is black with red stripes on it, you know, representing that we do need Islam, but we need a special Islam that is for black people. And I just want to say to you that I thank you for coming on the show and touching me because I realize that I can't be that selfish as to not try to do whatever I can to wake up black people. And, you know, I just want to extend, an invitation. If there's any way that we can contact you, I would really like to speak to you off the air and ask you a couple of questions anyway at your own convenience. If not, I would just continue listening to you on the show. But I just want to say I appreciate that everything that you've done and all that you do. And I will, you know, come out of my little retirement and come back a lot earlier than I thought I would.
Okay, yay. Thank you, sir. Let me say this. Mama Pearl has my number. And anybody that she, yes, you have access to my number. You can get it from Mama Pearl. Anyone that has a desire to contact me, they can get me by way of Mama Pearl.
Okay, that's wonderful, sir. Thank you very much.
Is that acceptable?
Yes,
I would also
say,
I said that we need study groups. We definitely have to understand what we're dealing with. We have to educate our young people so that they don't become the Bloods and the Crips and the gangsters and the a whole host of alphabets of misdirected, miseducated, uninformed young people that become a plague on our people as opposed to the people's warriors that they are. And the enemy sets upon them so that they never get a chance to stand up for our people. And you said you are a member of the Nation of Islam. That's part of our history. We definitely have to understand and study. We have to understand Garvey and the programs he was talking about. We need to understand Elijah Muhammad and the programs he's talking about. We need to understand Malcolm X and the programs he was talking about, and the Panthers and the programs that they were talking about, because our survival is what is at hand. You know, we have to be able to feed and clothe and shelter ourselves and heal ourselves and then defend ourselves.
Yes.
All right, we got some more callers standing by. Anything else on your mind, Brother Tabu? No, sir, brother. You know, you already know. I mean, you've done a great job here, as you usually do. I love you, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
All right, we say peace to my brother, Black Powell.
Black Powell.
Black
Powell.
All right, let's bring the next call in. Let's see, we're going to go to 507 and 301. You'll be next. 507-291, you're there?
Uhuru, brothers.
And hey, Uhuru.
Glad to be here. It's your brother, Chin Hotep, calling out of Kansas City, Missouri.
Hey, Uhuru, brother.
Uhuru, want to first off commend you all for the work that y'all are doing and trying to increase our awareness and organize us as a people. I can't say I have much of a question, just a bit more of a comment. And to say, being a member of that late 80s, early 90s generation myself, and definitely looking at my peers and seeing, as you brothers and sisters said, that they are very disconnected from the history, from the reality, and most off from the politics that affect their lives every day. I would like to ask the question to say, how can we organize the fractured liberation movement that exists today? How can we organize our youth around the similarities that they have, primarily in education, miseducation from this colonial system, jobs and employment, et cetera. There are a lot more similarities within this African struggle that we face than there are differences. And I guess my overall question and comment is to say we must unite. We must organize ourselves from old and young and unite. We can all recognize these problems and these issues that we've been struggling with for the last quarter century. I guess I want to hear any type of proposals or ideas that you comrades may have on how to unite this movement and get free. Uhuru.
Okay.
One of the things I would suggest to you, my brother, is, again, to organize study groups. And as we begin to study, you know, we don't focus so much in on our contradictions. We will have different ideas. Some of us may say, I want to form an Islamic state. Some of us may say, I want to form a socialist state. Some may say, I want to form a communist state. Some may think that they can be humane capitalists. We have contradictions amongst ourselves in the way that we approach our survival, but we cannot allow the enemy, an outside influence, not to mention the internal enemy also, to cause us to turn weapons on each other again, and we take each other out. This is one of the things they did to us that really disseminated our movement and made a lot of people back up. When we begin to take each other out and we turn weapons on each other, it just frightened an awful lot of people. Or when they criminalize us, and a lot of people who have a moral standpoint and a moral viewpoint, they back off of us because they say we're criminals. We are not criminals. They are the criminals.
That's right. That's right.
And we've got to educate our people and teach them how to think. We need to teach them political science and how to resolve our problems without becoming antagonistic. We have contradictions, but we cannot allow our contradictions to become antagonistic, where our energies are more fighting each other than it is dealing with the oppressor. You know, I think one of the things that they really attacked the Panther Party was for feeding the masses, right? Not so much because they stood up and said they were a self-defense group. It was because they were feeding the people. You know, you get more people to follow you because of the things that you need than you will talking about armed self-defense.
Absolutely. So if I understand you correctly, brother, this African-centered education is at the core of our liberation, because this colonial education has kept us, as you said, with this Eurocentric, this European worldview, which explains why we murder our fellow brothers and sisters, why we, you know, don't acknowledge and care for our children.
Yes. And the assault is always on the family and definitely the black male, but it's even stepped up now more on the black female as well. We have a large population of black women prisoners. We are speaking about our political prisoners, but our young people are the political prisoner today, but the political prisoner in the past knew he was a political prisoner of war. The young people are political prisoners and have no clue.
Absolutely. I want to make one last comment, and again, I cannot echo this enough. I just want to thank all of you comrades on here for the work you're doing and you know, initiating this conversation and hopefully following up with some real work. My last question, comrades, any proposals that you have on homeschooling or alternatives, some type of dual and contending power to the colonial education that myself, I personally feel, is the most effective tool that the current white power structure has against us.
Brother, I would urge you to reach out to the elders because we're leaving here quickly. I lost five comrades within a month.
Wow.
I'm devastated now as I'm speaking to you, but it's not new. We've been losing comrades and brothers and sisters all along, but I've just lost five within a month period of time. I urge you to reach out to the elders because they have the know-how and they have a lot of information and a wealth of knowledge that is not being tapped. That was one of the major things they wanted to do, is separate the generations.
Mm. Hey, thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sir.
All right.
And thank you, comrades. Uhuru Sasa.
All right.
Okay. One thing, Brother Drew, let me just add on to that, and I can tell you that something that I did, and it worked. You know, I got involved with my son, and then it was rap, but now hip-hop. You know, I had to learn that language, and I had my house in Connecticut, and I turned my basement into a studio. I was able to bring all of the gang members together. I had 20 Love, I had the Los Litos, I had the Bloods and the Crips, and they all came together within my home. Every night, I promise you, every night I had at least 80 young men in my house. You know, they're working on the music, but at that same time, I was able to get into their hearts and soften it up and have them respect and have love for each other. And then they started, because they were so into their writing, they had to go and get the dictionary and the thesauruses and the etymology books, and they had to bring all these things together, and I gave them topics to write about, you know, and then I had to go out and produce the shows for them to go out and do their showmanship. And then with that, you know, their mothers and their fathers came to me because they didn't know how to reach their children, and they wonder how I was able to reach them. So then I had to have groups. I had a sister-to-sister organization. I had a brother-to-brother organization where I had the mothers and the fathers come together, because now we have to, you know, educate them too, because they were hurt and they were detached. You know, and I promise you, I had FBIs looking at my house, watching me every night, because they seen these young thugs coming in and out of my home. But when they came into my home, all I got was much respect and love. And I fed them all. I had them sleeping on my floor. This is how I became Mama Pearl, because they kept coming and they kept coming and they kept coming. I have an army, a gang of warriors out there right now that is willing to come whenever I call. But, you know, this is how we have to give them what they want, so they learn to want what we have to give them.
Okay.
All right. Again, all right.
I will urge that we learn from all of our elders, and in our most recent past, learn from the Black Panther Party. Those programs, those survival programs, those feed the people, the housing the people, the clothing the people, the free clinics, those are the assaults that they constantly, I could go on and on the assaults that they're waging against us, that the health care, we can't afford health care in America. We have to begin to take steps to provide for ourselves. What was the message Elijah told us? Do for self. What did Malcolm tell us? Do for self, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, let's take this next phone caller. They've been waiting for 30-some minutes. They're in the queue waiting on us now. 301-556, you on there?
Yes, I'm here. Greetings to you, Brother Drew, Mama Pearl.
Greetings, Queen.
And most importantly, our elder that is on the phone with us. I think you said Baba, is that how you pronounce it?
Baba, B-A-B-A, Baba. It means father in Swahili.
Okay, yes, sir. I just want to thank you, you know, for all of what you shared. I can't imagine, you know, being in isolation for a long period of time. That is just unfathomable. And I want to thank Mama Pearl and Brother Drew for these shows the past few days, because I've learned so much, you know, from you all. And I think the best teacher is those that are walking, you know, that can teach and tell this story, you know, to the young people. So I wanted to ask you, with what we're doing in the Black Nation Task Force, if we bring some of the youth on and then some of the elders like yourself and the other brothers, you know, that was on a few days ago, to bring you two together and maybe have them ask you all some questions and you all ask them some questions so we can kind of come together because of the – it's such a big disconnect between our elders and our youth. So if we can bring those two elements together, you know, and have you all interact with each other and talk to each other and see, you know, and kind of bridge that gap, would you be willing to do that? And I would love – I also have a show. I you know, I'm going to extend my invitation along with Minister Dawood, who, you know, you already know. I want to extend, you know, an invitation as well onto my show, maybe, you know, sometime in the beginning of next year, and to start to link it up. And, you know,
It's imperative that we involve our young people in all that we're building. They have to understand nation building.
Yeah.
What it is to be a nation. You know, when I was teaching at the New African Institute, the last class that we had, the young people were so aware, but there was no place for them to graduate into when they left us on the high school or the middle school level. There was no place that was giving them the same kind of information for the next level. So it got watered down, and several of them are still very much conscious, but we have to continue it. And go online if you want to learn about political prisoners. Look up Jericho. They're dealing with political prisoners.
Jericho.
Look up political prisoners. I throw some names out there. Write to political prisoners, and they're full of information. Some names like Sundiata Kole, you said hip-hop. Write to Matulu Shakur. Have you ever heard his name, Matulu?
He was the
stepfather of Tupac.
Right?
Yes, sir. Write him. He has a lot to say on that hip-hop generation. Sekou Odinga, Russell Maroon Schultz, Joseph Bolt. Look up the names and write them. Adopt a political prisoner. And I'm going to slow down, and I'll let y'all talk now.
Yes, we really, 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 I really want to encourage and thank you, Baba, you know, for putting the insight in me and now in us that we need to adopt, you know, our political prisoners. You know, we really need to do that. Thank you, Queen. And that is certainly in the workings, you know. I hope, you know, that our elders, you know, will be available. And I know they will, are willing, because they want to get this story out. You know, and we need to spread them out throughout, because we all have different audiences, you know. So this is just the first, and I'm just so honored that, you know, they were able to share the time this time.
Yes.
But, yeah, we will definitely get that together. We'll definitely get that together.
Please come back. Please keep coming back. Please come back.
Okay, I'm rushing because we got people been holding about 40 minutes, and so
no,
I don't want to miss nobody. Okay, so we're going to take the next caller. Queen, appreciate you calling in. Let's go 708-757. We'll be the hold us up. Let's go to 708-757. We'll be to you next. 708-717, you on there?
Yes, sir. Brother, I think you're doing a fantastic job. I'm loving the message that I'm hearing from you and Mama Pearl. I just want Hey, how you doing, sis?
Love
you.
Hey, Black Power, brother Dino.
Black Power, my brother. And I just want to give a little bit of a message from my perspective. And the message that I want to give is this. We are at a very sobering time in American history. And from the way I look at things, it's going to take a real calamity to bring our people together, because we have so many different factions of our people in different areas all across the nation. And let me give some examples. We have those in corporate America that are very happy to be in corporate America, extremely happy to get masses crumbs, but they do not know that this very thing that is set for us throughout the nation as well as throughout the world is set for them as well. We have those who are on the lower spectrum in our communities that are actually, and let's just keep it real, acting as berserkers, robbing people, kicking in doors, acting a straight-up fool. There's going to come a time when our people are going to have to unite. And the sobering message that I'd like to give is this. When we all feel the fire is when we will all come together. Because I spoke with Brother Drew as well as Mama Pearl. There's an organization that I want to start called Jump Justice in Us Motivates People. And we have to become involved politically, far as education, far as the whole nine. But the one thing that I think that we are not really discussing this evening, there is a political element, a global political element that is actually running this whole thing. You have these Illuminists that are actually running the show. And from your Barack Obamas to most world leaders around the world, they are chosen to do the bidding for these people. And these people are really basically elements of the international banking system.
Yes.
And the one mantra that I'd like to give to our people is this. We can survive anything if we start having a revolution of trust amongst our people. And what I mean by that is we have to start spending our monies with one another, whatever the monetary system is. We have to start trusting each other. Brother Drew X is a fantastic carpenter. Brother, you got my business.
Yeah.
If Mama Pearl is a great teacher, sister, you have my business. I'm going to end on this note. I noticed that the Koreans, as well as the Chinese, as well as a whole lot of other ethnicities, they don't have this platform, and they don't need this platform because they understand how valuable it is to support each other economically. Chinese and Koreans in this country are very small. They don't give a damn about the vote. All they know is if they support one another, that they'll survive anything. And I'll end on that note. I don't want to monopolize the time. I love the energy on the show, Brother Drex, and I've told you once before, dear brother, you are a bridge maker. You are an organizer. And I love that in you. That is your calling. And I'm going to shut my mouth because I can go on a long time. I love the show, and thank you so much for giving me a few minutes to say what I have to say.
All right, we appreciate
Brother
you. Brother
Drew is certainly a security blanket. He is certainly a security blanket, I tell you. Love our brother.
May I comment on my brother's statement?
Yes, my father.
His analysis is correct. I will add to it, though, that black fathers have to go back home and educate and raise black sons and take the gun out of their hands. And black collegiates have to come back and educate brothers and cousins and nephews. Educate them. Teach. Start liberation schools. Don't just get your degree and go sell yourself out to corporate America, you know. And all of these folks that are out there, we have the ability to touch them. We can touch their soul if we want to.
But black men have to start being black men again. Black mothers have to start being black mothers again, because we got babies raising babies, and we got babies with no fathers. We got babies with no mothers, and the only survival they have is each other.
That's right.
Professionals, teach the skills. Yes, we have to support each other with our dollars, but we have to raise ourselves up. We have to become informed and educated and skilled people. And sometimes we don't have the money to pay you, brother, but we have to repair our communities.
That's right.
So we'll find a way to make sure that you get what you need economically. So I agree with what my brother was saying, but there's no shortcut. There's no short remedy, and it's not all just on economics. It's the whole 360 degrees.
Yes, we have to heal the minds of our people, the sickness and disease of the minds. We've got to heal them. We've got to heal.
All right. Brother Dawood, sending your greetings to Brother Dino and Sister Cassandra, Brother Dawood in the chat room.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that.
All right. Any more questions, Brother Dino, before I take the next call?
I'd just like to get back in briefly. $1.1 trillion slid through our community's hands. And these dollars bounce right out of our communities into other communities. There's an old adage that black people buy what we want and beg for what we need. We have to start realizing that the time is here, the time is now. Stop begging for what you want, and let's start coming together and being strategic.
Yes.
Because in our communities here in America, black people, we live in high on the hog compared to around the world. I don't see nobody living in no shacks. I don't see anybody living and not having clean water. Black people around the world look to us. And when we decide to become revolutionaries once again and get that fear out of our hearts, and let me state as well, the assassination of Malcolm X, the assassination of Martin Luther King, the assassination of Fred Hampton, as well as many others, that type of fear permeates and gets into the subconscious of a people. And therefore, revolutionaries do not want to come forth and step forward and do what needs to be done. Let's not take that out of the equation. That's why I applaud the work of Mama Pearl, Brother Drew X, Minister Dawood. You know, it really takes a lot to come out on these airs and state what we state, because we know there is a history of assassination for those of us that make these comments, as well as your guest, powerful brother.
Yes.
It is very hard to come forth and make these critical analysis and try to come forth with solutions for our people. But at the same token, I want to get a little bit metaphysical now. We're not going to be here forever.
That's right.
Though everybody love the Lord, but everybody's scared to die. Stop being afraid to die and go ahead and handle the business. Because it's not for myself. It's not for Mama Pearl. It's not for Drew X. It's not for the guest. It's for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. We have to step forth to start handling business and stop worrying about tomorrow. And I'll end on this note. If the Creator will make a way for the ant, if the Creator will make a way for the stray dog, if the Creator will make a way for all the quote-unquote lower species, surely he will make a way for the most grand of his species that he's created, and that's the human being. And with us being the original of that, surely he'll make a way for us. Stop being afraid and take the fear out of our hearts, and let's start doing what we have to do. And like I stated before, I don't like to monopolize the time. I like to talk, but I'm going to shut my mouth now and let the show go on and do what he has to do.
I salute you too, my brother Dino. I salute you too, brother Dino, for what you do on your shows.
Thank you.
All right, Black Power.
Black Power, all right, thank you for your comment, brother.
All right, let's take this next call. I've been waiting about 40-something minutes. Let's go to 757-405. You on there?
Black Power, Black Power. That show
hey, Black
very
Power,
powerful.
Black Power.
You talking to Queen Sheba.
Queen Sheba.
Yes. All right. What I want to add to it as a Black Panther Party, we are out to fight for justice. That way is to fight for fairness of our prisoners so we can get our people out of prison, off death row, and get our children out of jail and out of detention centers.
Yes.
So that's why we gotta fight for justice, because justice is that's the main thing that the European police and everybody is doing. It's either they're doing it with their cars or driving, or they're doing it with walking. They're doing everything. They're lynching them. They're doing everything. So we gotta fight for justice, and we gotta take it to the extreme.
Okay.
That's right.
I agree with you, but I just want to add to this. We're definitely going to fight, but this is what I've learned from our brother, the right excellent honorable Marcus Garvey. We have to change the polarity in our words. When we say we're fighting for justice, that's exactly what we get, because justice is something that is used against you, that is imposed against you. We're going to fight for the injustice that has been done to us and our people, so the people who has been doing the injustice can get justice.
That's right. Now, that's true. That's true. That indeed. That's what we got to do.
One of our freedom fighters on the motherland, on the continent, named Amilcar Cabral, wrote a book called Return to the Source. We must once again become an African people. We don't even think like an African people anymore. When it comes to the world economy, we don't think like African people. We're misled and miseducated. And we have to begin to return to what it is that we had, because when we were on the continent, we taught the world about the economy, right? We taught the world how to trade and barter, but we were a completely different people. And all of the things that were owned belonged to all of us. Nowhere there. Herodotus, according to one of our elders that passed on, Reverend Ishaka Musa, he said Herodotus wrote, "Never have I seen such a people," talking about African people. He said, "You can take your belongings and sit it down and walk away and come back a year later and your belongings will still be there." That's how far away from who we are today. Our culture has been taken from us. Our whole way of life has been taken away from us. For those of us that are spiritual, we're not even worshiping in our own way. And what they have really done, according to Reverend Ishaka Musa and Dr. Ben and several others, they've taken our ideas, bastardized them, and they give them back to us, and we don't even recognize our own thing when we see it.
That's right.
I don't want to step on anybody's religious toes, but that's where we are.
That's right.
We even allow those spiritual differences to become very antagonistic.
That's right.
All right, Queen Sheba, any other questions?
All I want to add to that is we are spiritual beings, and we are children of the God of the universe. Come on.
Yes.
That's what I want to add to that, because I worship the God of the universe, and I am a spiritual being.
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling in, and Black Power always supporting the brothers. All the struggles and all the things we done went through, Queen Sheba always said, I'm going to support that black man, and we appreciate you, Queen Sheba, for calling in. Everybody, give us just 2 minutes. We have to take a commercial break. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Dance away out of our constriction. Gonna be freaking up and down the hang up alleyway. With the groove I only got, we shall all be moved. Ready or not, here we come. Getting down on
the one with me.
Radio, we have our elder Baba Khalid, POW himself, and is still fighting on the behalf of all our POWs. And this is the Black Nation Radio. And on the line tonight, you heard from the member of the New Africa, Baba Khalid, represented by Minister Baba Khalid tonight. You heard from the Nation of Islam tonight. You heard from the Uhuru movement tonight. UNIA is on the line tonight. New Black Panther Party is on the line tonight. That's why we say one nation, black nation. Our black nation is coming together to make some difference. You heard from Blog Talk Radio hosts, brothers Dino Dean, Queen of Hearts, hey, Nelson Dawood, and many more. All right, Mama Pearl, back to you.
Wow, Brother Drew, you're doing just a phenomenal, phenomenal job. But before, you know, we get too late, I want to talk about these wonderful books that Baba has created. I have three of them in my presence right now. When I say I've never seen anything like this in my life, you know, I mean, I'm looking at the, how do you pronounce that, Baba? Is the Kapura Cultural Creation Heritage Puzzle Book?
Kapura.
Did I pronounce that?
Kapura.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, this is a puzzle book. I mean, the table of contents, it goes the river, lakes, and mountains, crops, and agricultures, Orishua, birthplace of humanity. And this is like my favorite book. You know, the ones with all the alphabets, and you have to find the words, encircle them. You know, he's got birthplace of humanity, Africa, natural, cosmic, archaeology, humanity, fossils. And it just goes on and on and on like this. But then he has another one. This is the wonderful world of Maat. It's the coloring book, and the story is like phenomenal. You know, it says on the continent Africa there was a huge kingdom called Kemet. You know, and it just goes on and on. It tells this beautiful, beautiful story. I want to give it to my granddaughters, my grandchildren, but I'm going to make copies of them before I give it to them. But my favorite one, I mean, I've never seen anything like this before. It's a salute to black inventors transportation. I mean, this thing just blew my mind. It has the blueprint, family. He's got the blueprint. He's got the automatic gear shift by R.B. Spikes, dated December 6, 1932. The patent number is 188984, and it gives the description, the diagram of the gear shift, and then it has picture-friendly gears for the children to create these words, you know, and he's got the patent of the child carriage by William H. Richardson, Baltimore, dated 1889, patent number 405599, and he's got diagrams and puzzles, and I mean, it just goes on. The partial carriage for the bicycle, you know, these are all things that our brothers had invented, our people invented. This is the rotary engine, a bear, dated July 5th, 1892, the patent number. And it's the blueprint. He has the blueprint of all of these things in here for our children to see. And he's got the air conditioner unit, the blueprint for the air conditioner unit. And he's got diagrams for how they can kind of simulate these things. The tunnel construction for the electric railways, the blueprints again, furniture casters, the blueprints, man, something as simple as a furniture caster, you know, the little things, the wheel that you put under your furniture, we created that junk. He's got the blueprint for that. The bicycle frame, he got the blueprint for that. I mean, it's just phenomenal. The electric railway trolley, blueprint for that. I'm like, I've never seen anything. Carpooling device. The carpooling device. You know, we did that. It's got the blueprint for that. The elevator. Oh, my goodness. Elevator. Alexander Miles, Duluth, Minnesota. Dated October 11, 1867. The blueprint and patent numbers for that. Luggage carrier for the bicycles. You know, I mean, my brother, Baba, this is awesome. Every child of ours should have this, and I'm sure the adults too, because, I mean, I'm praises to the Most High for you. Thank you so much. I already know what made you do it, but tell us, explain what you were thinking when you decided to create these coloring books for our children. I've never seen anything like this before in my life.
I can't take credit for all of those books. The first two you mentioned were really inspired by a brother named Thomas Stanley, but he's joined the ancestors. And mm-hmm. is there. We just have to collect the information and disseminate. We have to educate to liberate, educate to liberate, educate to liberate. And as I was saying, you know, people with skills have to teach the children, teach the youth. I don't want to call them children. Teach the youth skills. We have to be able. I'll back up for a minute. The struggle is for land. The land will give us everything that we need, but we have to know what to do with the land once we get it. We have to be able to farm the land. We have to be able to create transportation for ourselves. We have to be able to heal ourselves. All the things that we need medicine-wise comes out of the land. All of the things that we need to build houses comes from the land. We have to gather information and re-disseminate. That's where it comes from, gathering information and re-disseminating the information. I hope that made sense. I said that.
It made a lot of sense. But how do our family get these books?
Brother Hamid Abdul Aziz, you're familiar with him, right? He is distributing the books. So if you stay in touch with Baba Hamid, he has the books. But you can reach. I got two more in the making. I have The Animals of Africa, A to Z. And I'm working on our great African kings and queens.
Wow. Okay. All right, my brothers and my sisters. Well, I'm going to figure out how to get you all a copy of this book. My brother Hamid Abdul Azid is the reason why we were able to get our elders with us this week. And I will certainly be in contact with my brother, you know, quite often. In fact, are you going to be here in Atlanta this weekend, Baba?
No, I was not able to get the resources I needed to get there.
Okay.
So, but I will be teleconferencing by phone.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I will certainly be there with Hamid, and we're going to be doing a live interview, right, Brother Drew, from the event this weekend. And I'll give you the time, probably be about 8, 9 o'clock, something like
okay.
that.
Okay, and also some people from Atlanta want to know where the event's going to be held, so if you have that information.
I just had the name in my head. It's the African Museum. It's the Gurad or Gurad, something like that. I don't have that. I didn't get the flyers or anything, but it's at the African Museum. It's on Dogwood Avenue. The Gurad? Goodness, I'm not saying it right. It's almost like that, but I'm sure they must know what it is.
All right. And what time will that do that program start?
It's from 10 until 10, I believe.
All right, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday at the African Museum on Dogwood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Family, I'm on a cell phone, and my battery just told me it's depleted. So at any moment, it may out. But I will stay with you as long as I can. If I go blank, that's what happens.
Okay, well, just in case we give you some air flaps before we get home.
I didn't hear that.
I said, we're just giving you some head claps before you get home.
Okay.
Thank you so
all
much,
right.
Baba. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us this evening and sharing your love, your wisdom, and your knowledge with us. And this will certainly not be the last time, you know. I just thank you. Thank you. You fueled us, you know. You've definitely given us the fuel that we needed to jumpstart what we have to do.
I thank you for asking me on. And I'll be glad to participate with any of you or unite with any of you. I stand in unity with all of you. And I hope that the Creator bestows blessings on you. But the struggle continues from one generation to the next. Free the land.
Free the land.
Black out.
Love you so much, my brother.
Love you all.
All right. Black power, brother. All right, Mama Pearl, back on you.
Well, Brother Drew, I just want to thank you so much for being with me. I couldn't have done this without you this week. I had no idea, you know, it was going to be just so emotional for me. And I knew something was coming. I had to sit for a while. I knew something was coming, but I didn't know what it was. I thank you, Brother Drew.
Yes, ma'am. You know, thank you for these three programs and one more Saturday for anyone who hadn't heard. Mama Pearl will be doing a live broadcast this Saturday out of Atlanta at the African Museum, and we'll stay tuned for that and see what that's going to be about. All the freedom fighters will be in the house. You'll get to speak to them and hear what's going on for Mama Pearl. And, you know, she's, playing the chef instrumentalist in the background because she's been doing some bad shit to my stuff, and we've been having some bad shit to my brother come here. And sisters, so we say, hey, greeting the Black Power, free the land to all our sisters who stand and fight on the behalf of our Black nation. Hey, we say y'all some bad, you know what? Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth. Love you, family. We got a lot of work to do, but we have to come together and unite it, and we have to stand on truth and righteousness. If there's any jealousy and envy in your heart, get it out. Get it out. The Creator has blessed us all with gifts and talent. So don't look behind you and don't look beside you what the other person is doing. Just keep looking forward to what you're doing. Do all that you can do because we all have to do this. It's for our babies and our babies' babies. And I love you all. I truly, truly love you all. Black Power, free land, race first.
All right. All right, y'all. This has been Brother Drew and Mama Pearl on that Black Nation Task Force. We heard from all our brothers. Go ahead. Oh, I'm hitting my echo. We appreciate all our guests tonight. Our brother, the Barbara. Come on, help me out. Barbara Khalid.
Khalid.
Yes.
Khalid.
The freedom fighter, POW himself, fighting on behalf and representing all our POWs right now. Still going. Age is not a factor. And we heard from brothers yesterday, Brother Herman Ferguson, 91 years of age. Age is not a factor. We heard from my brother Alan Brown, also out of that New African movement. Age is not a factor. They still going, and they all will be a and Clarence Forrest to keep the spirit of revolution and liberation alive. And we let that be a lesson to anybody. Thank you to you didn't did enough, and you can sit down. You can't sit down because nobody will sit down for you, and you see it right in your face. They've been on the line for 3 days, and we got some more to come. They are not giving up, and they ain't giving up on this black racing, so don't you give up. Keep on pushing. Hey, this is the Black Nation Radio. We heard from all our brothers and sisters. You who are moving, we thank you. Nation of Islam been on tonight, we thank you. Black Panther Party members been on tonight, thank you. Sister X and your organization running for mayor up in New York, we thank you. Let's see, every organization that's been on tonight, we thank you. You know, y'all representing, that's what it's all about. Bringing all of us under one umbrella. We got a lot of Black United Fronts, but you don't get to hear them speak together. We need to hear you speak together so we can all see that we all have something in common, and that's that black skin, and that's that freedom that we must get. Free the land, Mama Pearl, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Drew, love you so much. Got a UNIA call. Peace.
All right, you want to end the program or keep pushing? All right, y'all, we're going to end the program, and we appreciate everybody coming out. Tracy, we appreciate you and Minister Dawood holding down on them blog talk shows, and we appreciate everybody. We say Black Power, everybody, thank you for coming out on this Thursday evening. You could have been doing anything else, but you chose to liberate yourself, and with liberating yourself, hey, you can liberate your brothers and sisters. And we say Black Power, and we see y'all again. Hopefully Saturday evening, check the Brother Drew X show page, and that'll give you the time, what time we'll be on. So we will be doing a live broadcast Saturday, and also Saturday night, we'll be on the Southern Region New Black Panther Party show, too. So we got it going. We don't stop. Black Power, we see y'all next week. I mean, see you, sir.